always, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you.
Thank Cole for coming up and reading that. I gave it to him right before. He did a very good job of reading. And we're trying to get our young men involved in that and preparing them to be the men that they need to be growing up. I came across an article written some years back by a man named Rich Tatum. I don't know much about him except what he wrote in this piece, but something that he said in this article struck me, and I'd like to read it to you this morning. In the article he wrote, my wife and I recently went on vacation and took along a camera and several rolls of film. Upon our return, my wife proudly showed off our latest set of vacation photos, and she then told me her coworkers' reactions. After a few days of this, I noticed a recurring theme. Invariably, people would say, wow, your husband must have a really nice camera. Even though people liked my photos, I was disappointed. I wanted them to acknowledge what a good photographer I am, not what a good camera I have. I ran into my wife, why do people do this? Nobody looks at a painting and says, nice brushes. Nobody looks at a skyscraper and says, nice drafting table. Nobody looks at a sculpture and says, nice chisel. What's wrong with all of these people? It felt good to get that off my chest, he says, until my wife reminded me, so how often do you look at creation and say, nice work, God? Sadly, not that many people do. Despite the fact that God has left his signature, so to speak, on everything that he created, as Paul talks about over in Romans chapter 1. He says there, beginning in verse 20, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. Creation itself points to the existence of an all-powerful, incredibly wise, eternal creator. And yet, verse 21 there goes on to say, although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. A week from this coming Thursday, as I'm sure every one of you knows, is Thanksgiving Day. Most of you are probably looking forward to getting together with family and friends, eating some turkey, some mashed potato and pie, whatever other special dishes that your family enjoys this time of year. Some of you are probably looking forward to watching the Macy's annual Thanksgiving Day parade with all the decorated floats. Maybe you're looking forward to kicking back and watching some football or catching up with family and friends. Maybe you're gearing up for those Black Friday sales. But in the midst of all of these things that we typically do on Thanksgiving Day, we need to remember to stop and give thanks. To think about the things that we ought to be thankful for. All of the blessings that we have, both physical and otherwise. To think about the people we ought to be thankful for. Our parents and grandparents and veterans and so on. The people that have done so much for us in our life, who have raised us and taught us and protected us, protected the freedoms that we have to worship the God that we serve. And most importantly, we need to think about that living God who created us and sustains us and who is worthy of all of our honor and glory and praise and thanksgiving. I want to read to you just a portion of the very first Thanksgiving proclamation given in this nation by our first president, George Washington, given by him on October 3rd in 1789. The proclamation begins by saying, whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey his will, to be grateful for his benefits, and humbly to implore the protection and favor, his protection and favor. And whereas both houses of Congress have by their joint committee requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer, to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts and the many signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday the 26th, day of November next, to be devoted to the people of these states, to the service of that great and glorious being who is the beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, or that will be, that we may then all unite in rendering unto him our sincere and humble thanks for his kind care and protection of the people of this country previous to their becoming a nation. At the very outset of our nation, the president, at the request of both houses of Congress, proclaimed a special day to remember God and all that he had done for the people of this new nation. Not many of the presidents followed his example. In fact, I believe only two of them did, James Madison and one of the others. But most refrained from doing that. Although a lot of people continued to celebrate Thanksgiving in the various states, they didn't always do it on the same day. It wasn't until 74 years later, in the middle of the Civil War, that Abraham Lincoln tried to unify a divided nation to observe it together on the same day again. And again, I want to read you just a small portion of what he wrote. And I encourage you to read the entire proclamation this week or next. But after talking about the growth and the prosperity of this nation, the blessings and peace that the people had broadly enjoyed, despite the tragedy of the Civil War, which they were in the middle of at this point, he said, "No human counsel hath devised, nor hath any mortal hand worked out these great things. They are the gracious gifts of the Most High God, who, while dealing with us in anger for our sins, hath nevertheless remembered mercy. It has seemed to me fit and proper that they should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged, as with one heart and one voice, by the whole American people. I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States, and also those who are at sea, and those who are sojourning in foreign lands, to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November next as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens." We live in an increasingly ungrateful and materialistic nation. A divided nation, a selfish nation. It wouldn't be much of a stretch to apply Paul's word from Romans chapter 1 to the people of our own day. Although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. At some point in our nation, those who once knew God, or at least acknowledged the existence of an eternal, powerful, wise creator, turned their back on him. Their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. But we, as God's people, as the most blessed of all the people in this nation, not necessarily materialistically, but spiritually and eternally, we need to remember to stop and give him thanks. There are several other passages of scripture or verses that we could look at this morning and talk about. First of all, Psalm 100, which is very appropriately titled A Psalm for Giving Thanks, A Psalm for Thanksgiving. In it, the psalmist declares, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise," as we sung just a moment ago. "Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generation." Or over in Colossians chapter 3, as Paul is giving the Colossian brethren some instructions on how to live, how they ought to live as Christians, just notice how many times in this passage he mentions the need for them to be thankful. Beginning in verse 15 there, he says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Three times in three verses, he mentions the need for God's people to be thankful. Ephesians chapter 5, as Paul is discussing several things within this passage, but he's talking about things that are improper for God's people to engage in, to engage the members of their body. And in verse 4 there, he focuses in on improper ways of using one's tongue, one's lips. He talks about obscenity, foolish talk, coarse joking, all things which should not proceed from our mouths, all things that are out of place for God's people. But what does he say ought to proceed from our mouth? Thanksgiving. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16 through 18, which Cole read just a moment ago. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in everything or in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And there are several other passages which we could go to and look at, especially from the Psalms, that talk about the need for God's people to be thankful to him. And I would encourage you to read through some of those this week and the following week leading up to Thanksgiving Day. Maybe look up the words thanks or thankful, gratitude within a concordance and see how many passages refer to that. See how the biblical writers talk about his mighty deeds, his words, his promises, and how they give thanks for his blessings. Maybe we'll do that at some point in the future. But with the rest of the time we have this morning, I want us to just focus primarily on the New Testament, to very briefly and quickly look at some of the things that we see the first century Christians being thankful for. For one, we ought to be thankful for our physical blessings, for the things that God blesses us with in the physical realm. Not only did God create the world in which we live, this is my Father's world, as we sang a moment ago, but he also provides us the things that we need to survive in this world, such as the food that we eat. And there are several New Testament passages which refer to giving thanks when partaking of a meal. In the Gospels, we read about Jesus miraculously feeding the 5,000 and the 4,000 with just a handful of fish and loaves. And he gave them to the people to eat, but before he did that, he gave thanks for them. In Acts chapter 2, we find the very first Christians meeting together daily in the temple courts, but they also met together in each other's homes with glad and sincere hearts, praising God, and broke bread together. Acts 2, verses 46 and 47. Later on in the book of Acts, in chapter 27, we read about Paul on a ship bound for Rome, caught up in a terrible storm. And as most of you know, the ship's not going to make it. They're going to be shipwrecked. And all of the people have not been eating because of the storm. And Paul encourages them that last night to eat. They're going to need the strength for the shipwreck that is to come. But verse 35 there says, after he said this, he took bread and gave thanks to God in front of them all. He lived out the very words which Cole read just a few moments ago in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. He gave thanks to God in every circumstance. Not just the circumstance of the shipwreck, not just the circumstance of the storm, but Paul on that ship was a prisoner bound for Rome, not knowing what awaited him there. In regards to giving thanks for our physical blessings, we could also look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9, in which Paul says the contribution for the poor saints in Jerusalem by the Gentile congregations will result in thanksgiving to God. Or over in Philippians chapter 4, where Paul thanks God for the physical provisions that the Philippian brethren had provided for him, had sent to him to care for his need. Most of us in this room have more physical blessings than we could hope to count. We could sit down and make a list, and we wouldn't finish anytime soon. And we need to remember to be thankful to God for those. We need to be generous with those, especially with our Christian brothers and sisters, with those that are in need. But more importantly, we need to remember to be thankful to God for our spiritual blessings, those that we have in Christ. First of all, for the salvation that we have through him. At one point or another, all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And that sin separated us from him. It created a rift between us and our God. It destroyed our fellowship. It broke our relationship with him. But God, in his infinite love, sent his son to die on the cross of Calvary, as Mike talked about just a few moments ago, to shed his blood so that we might have our sins forgiven, that we might be saved, and so that we need to be thankful for that. As Paul says in Romans chapter 7, verses 24 and 25, they're speaking of his former life, speaking of the time before the Lord met him on the road to Damascus when he was still not a Christian. He said, "What a wretched man am I? Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 56 and 57, he says, "The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Or Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 and following, where Paul talks about giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For, verse 13, he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. We need to be thankful to God for the salvation that he has provided us, the hope he has given us, the abundant life he has blessed us with. And we need to be expressing that thankfulness in our prayers on a daily basis, in our homes on a daily basis. And I would encourage you to do that leading up to Thanksgiving, to give thanks not only for the food on your table, but for the spiritual blessings that you have through Christ, the salvation of our souls, and all the blessings that come with that. Then third, we also need to be thankful for the privilege of serving in his kingdom. Just listen to Paul's words in 1 Timothy chapter 1, beginning in verse 12 there, as Paul talks about himself and the grace that was shown to him. Paul says, "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy, because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus." Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. God not only blesses us with the gift of salvation, but he blesses us with significance and purpose in his kingdom. He blesses us with positions of honor. He allows us to serve with his son to bring the message of salvation to a lost and dying world. All of us have done things in our lives that we're not proud of. All of us have done things or said things that we wish we could take back. And like Paul, we need to be thankful to God for the opportunity that he has given us not only to be saved, not only to spend eternity in heaven with him, but to serve in his kingdom. As we've talked about before in Romans chapter 12, we're no longer to present our bodies as living, and we are to present our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing unto God, which is our spiritual act of worship. We're no longer to offer the parts of our bodies to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather we're to offer ourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. Romans 6, verse 13 there. As Peter says in his letter, we are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that we might declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness and into his wonderful light. We need to remember to thank God for the privilege of serving in his kingdom, of declaring his praises. No matter what other jobs you may hold, no matter what other titles you may have, you are first and foremost a Christian, a follower of Christ, an ambassador for him to a lost and dying world. We also need to be thankful for our Christian brothers and sisters. There are several passages in the New Testament that we could refer to. Just about every one of Paul's letter begins this way. Philippians chapter 1, for instance, Paul says, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And that isn't unique to Philippi. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 3, Paul says, we ought always to thank God for you, brothers, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love every one of you has for each other is increasing. Paul was constantly thanking God for the faith, the love, the endurance, the generosity of his brothers and sisters in Christ, both those he knew personally and those he had never met, like those at Rome and Colossae. Because Paul understood church isn't a place we go, it's a people we belong to. It's a body joined together by Christ. It's a family united by love, with a shared purpose, a shared mission, and a common hope. And he knew that none of us can do it alone. What God has given us to do is bigger than any one of us can accomplish. We need one another for support, for encouragement, for strength, for correction, for comfort. And we too, like Paul, need to give thanks for our Christian brothers and sisters that help in that way. As Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16, from him, from Christ the head, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. We have a lot to be thankful for here at Waynesville, for the many people who are doing their part, who are using their spiritual gifts for the benefit of the body. And we need to express that thanks both to God and to those who are serving. And then finally, we need to be thankful for receptive hearts to the Word of God. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, Paul says, and we also thank God continually, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is at work in you who believe. We need to be thankful for those who truly receive the message of the gospel. As we've been talking about in our Bible class on Sunday mornings, not everyone accepts God's word as his word. They accept it just as the word of men, something that is outdated, irrelevant, something that's not authoritative. And so I'm so thankful for each and every one of you and the way that you have been receptive to God's word. We need to be looking for others that are receptive in that same way. Those like the Bereans in Acts chapter 17, verse 11 there, who eagerly accepted the word of God, but they didn't just accept it, they also carefully studied the word of God to see if the things that they were teaching were true. This Thanksgiving, remember to give God thanks. Thank him for the bread that he gives us. Thank him for the blood-bought salvation through his son. Thank him for the blessing of serving. Thank him for brothers and sisters. And thank him for believing hearts that receive his word and bear fruit. Thank him in all things, because he is worthy. If you've never responded to God's goodness in obedience of faith, if you've never received the gift of salvation through the waters of baptism, today's that day. Don't let another Thanksgiving pass you by before you give your life to the one who gave you everything. If we can help anyone in any way, we're going to sing a song now as a conclusion. Come with a believing heart if you need to come. Come with gratitude. Come as we stand and sing.